Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Night Shadows. I'm Stuart Best, where the paranormal is normal, where that which you thought you knew, you didn't, and where the future can be known if you know exactly where to look.
Well, good evening, everyone. Thanks for tuning in and listening. I know we gave you kind of short notice. Some things have developed, and we just found out about this afternoon, and they don't bid well, I guess one could say, for the world. And we got Larry on his mountaintop with information on that. And I also want to talk about Israel is coming up. Most people would think that the 70th year of Israel is actually over, but it isn't. The actual 70th year ends on May 14th, 2019. And it's very, very interesting because of all the numbers that dovetail into that, along with the super blood moon, and then two super moons after the blood moon on January 20th. Then we have another super moon on February 19th, and then we have another super moon on March 20th. And these things are deadly warnings for Israel and for the world as far as that goes. Hi, Larry. How you doing?
Hey, sir. Oh, just sitting up here trying to keep everything in view.
Well, at least you're on a mountaintop where you can see some of that. You said you found a Bible code that's kind of interesting from Barry. Let's start with that one because I want to get into Israel and some of the numbers that are dovetailing in. I think we really need to be alert from now on because we're coming up on Israel's end of the 70th year will be on May 14th. And the Lord Jesus told us that 70 years is the primary number that we need to watch for. A generation being, most scholars would say, is 70 years. Jesus said, well, most of this stuff is all going to be completed by then. Well, that gives us 5 months to get almost all of this completed before Daniel's 70th week begins. So, yeah, it's kind of fascinating. We'll get into some of that. What does Barry have to say about Israel?
Well, he's got a new Torah code up. Matter of fact, it's titled Israel to Attempt Moon Landing. And it's got 8 parts in the matrix. Let me read them to you. Number 1, Israel to the moon. Number 2, Khan. Number 3, rocket. Number 4, I will journey a little. Number 5, robot. Number 6, nano. Number 7, USA. Number 8, Russian.
Sounds like a concerted effort, maybe, between Russia, Israel, and the United States. How does he interpret that? Does he say?
Well, he seems to interpret it that they'll make the attempt of this moon landing, that the guy Khan is an Israeli, and he's funding, he's putting the money up for the trip. The USA may be in there because of part of the technology, and Russia because possibly they'll launch it out of, Kazakhstan or whatever. I'm not sure. But what's so interesting, it's a nano robot. Basically, a robotic craft from Israel that they're going to take there. And what's interesting is the fact that China just landed probe on the moon on the dark side, the very first one to land on the dark side that we're aware of, and that would be, so Russia's been there, the U.S. has been there, now China, and then possibly Israel if it actually gets on the moon. So it's kind of intriguing.
Yeah, it almost sounds like, well, we know that almost all the nations, there was a fellow that got called into a lab. He was a photography equipment technician, I guess. His name was Carl can't think of his last name right now. But anyway, he was summoned to go to some Air Force base or military base and to examine some photographic equipment that had failed. And he was a technician selected to fix it. So anyway, he goes in there and he said when he went in there, people from all the nations of the world were gathered there. And it was where they were downloading all these pictures that the satellites were taking of the moon, both our side and the dark side. When we say dark side, that doesn't mean it doesn't have light. That just means that we don't get to see it because the moon rotates in such a way that the one part of the moon is always facing Earth. So when they say dark side, they just mean we can't see it, not that it doesn't have any sunlight. But anyway, when he got into the place where the cameras had broken down or the interpretation that led to the pictures had broken down, he went in to fix it. And while he was in there, this young technician showed him pictures of bases on the back side of the moon, dark side of the moon. And that's probably why China decided to try and land on the dark side of the moon. I think they did a satellite picture once before. When was that? A couple of years ago. And you could clearly see several large structures on the back side of the moon. And I think that was China. That they didn't land. What they did was they had a satellite going over and took pictures and released them. And you can find those, I think, on YouTube. If you went on YouTube and just China's satellite pictures of the moon, you can see these structures. They're clear as a bell. What do you think? That's interesting, though.
I'm not sure if that was China or if that was that European probe that went over.
I'm not sure either.
European. Yeah.
But kind of interesting, however, that here we go again, getting to the moon. Particularly when we've been on the moon for years and on Mars for years. But, you know, what do you do? They have one news thing for the masses, and then they have something in secret. So I guess that's just the way it works. A lot of interesting things, though, going on all over the world. And I wanted to get to some of that. What have you got on Trump? I know other than he's being crucified, of course, for whatever he does. What's the latest today on Mr. Trump, President Trump?
Well, the latest today, let me find my notes here, is they call it... The headline from Fox News says, "Wall Word Puzzle. Trump digs out old Obama-Hillary quotes on illegal crossings to boost his bid for the border barrier." And so he's pushing that barrier, and, you know, he actually went to, I believe it was Maine, to a camp there for special meetings yesterday, and then today he's back, I think he got back to the White House. But they're pushing this, and of course, you know, it's really interesting that the Democrats are determined, and I suppose quite a bit of the rhinos, you know, they're not going to have a wall. We're not going to have a border.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, Ezekiel 38 sort of implies that we don't. When it says, you know, the Russians or the Russian coalition, I should say, Russia and our allies have invaded Israel. They're on the mountains of Israel, and it says, Gog thinks an evil thought. I will go up to the land of unwalled villages, to them that are at peace, them that are at rest, having gotten rich with cattle and goods, and I will, I guess, go up there to plunder. And what's interesting about that is that if you cross-compare Scripture with Scripture, that's the United States of America he's talking about. And then you have to relate that back to Isaiah 17 and the war on Damascus. So this all takes place, I think, I'm coming to the conclusion within not very long, let's put it that way. One of the things that is said about it is that it's about a month. It's about a new moon to a new moon, which would be 1 month. So it almost sounds like all of this stuff goes down very, very rapidly. And I don't know if Isaiah 17 is the first domino that falls, and that's followed by Daniel 8/11, which is then followed by 38, 39. We don't know. I mean, you know, it could be years, I suppose, just as well as it could be, you know, the war itself is very, very short, according to Isaiah 17. It's over in one evening. In the evening they are, but in the morning they are not. And it says in that war that Israel waxes very, very lean. And that would mean that they take heavy, heavy, heavy losses in this war. And you remember, Larry, the bots and the Israeli mistake.
Oh, yeah.
That was what? 2-3 years ago they were talking about that?
Uh-huh.
So does Israel do something stupid, make a mistake, and this whole thing goes boom, do you think? It's obviously, if it's a mistake, it's a miscalculation.
Yeah, Israel at the moment's having about the same problem with the government in Israel as we are in the USA. You know, they're trying to bring Trump down right now. And over in Israel, they're trying to bring Bibi Netanyahu down right now. And so, you know, the next, you know, you mentioned the word month. The next month or so will really determine, I guess, on both locations which way this thing may go. You know, Netanyahu is focused, and he's working with Salman, who people really are not hearing anything about recently. But the plan to go after Iran, I think, is still in full effect. And probably being, I guess you could say, strategically implemented slowly all this time this has been going on.
Yeah. Well, a lot of stuff is going on in the background we don't know anything about. Bring this into focus, let me look at something here. On January 21st, we have what is known as the Blood Super Moon. It's called the Wolf Moon. And that is 114 days to May 14th, 2019. And that is the day of that Israel enters her 71st celebration, 71st year, which then carries through to May 14th, 2020. Now, 114 days is actually 411 in code. We had two comets that both crossed a year apart exactly on April 11th, 411. One in 1996, that was Hyakutake. And then in 1997, we had Hale-Bopp. They crossed the Star of Agol, Satan's head. And remember, that goes back into Genesis, where the Lord will crush Satan's head. And that was 22 and 23 years ago, as of 2019, which both of which are extremely interesting numbers, 22 and 23. Okay, then the next one that's of major importance is March 20th, and that's just a supermoon that takes place on the equinox. And that is also Purim. And Purim, of course, is Easter, or Esther. That's the story of Esther, which is kind of interesting. But what's even more interesting is from March 20th to May 14th, if you include both beginning day and end day, 56 days, which adds up to 11. If you take them out, it's 54 days, and that adds up to 9. So we have a coded 9-11, which to me is extremely fascinating as Israel enters their 71st year. Now, what's really interesting is, as you know, Larry, the number 70 in Scripture is of supreme importance. And Jesus said that this generation would not pass until all be fulfilled. Well, the argument comes in is, does that include the 7 years of tribulation, or is that included in the millennial, part of the millennial age? And I guess one can argue that both ways. But what I'm getting at is we're going to know by May 14th whether or not the 70-year generation is accurate and that everything basically would be fulfilled. And, of course, if you add up May 14th, 2019, which is 5/14/2019, it comes out to 22. And that's very, very fascinating because of 22 is actually an 11/11. And remember, the 116th Congress, which is, I think, what we're in, is also a 9/11. Just take the 6 and turn it upside down, and you got 9/11. So this is all very, very interesting. And from the time that the Jews went on the Temple Mount on July 17th, 2017, it is exactly 666 days to May 14th. I don't think that's by accident either. So what I'm getting at, folks, is if any of this means anything at all, we're going to see some action. And from the headlines that Larry and I are now going to bring to you, having set the stage for this, it looks like we're going to have plenty of action. Larry, let's start with this one. President issues war powers notification and deploys U.S. troops to Africa. Do you know what that's about? Is this about oil and energy as well as what we're being told? Do you think?
Well, we're well aware that Africa really has a lot of, the special minerals and, the much-needed assets. And so it appears because of the breakdown of the government now they call it the Democratic Republic of the Congo, that we're deploying U.S. troops to Africa. And Trump apparently, I posted a copy of it, if it's true, has issued a war powers notification to Congress. And that's kind of interesting because him doing that at this point in time, at the same point in time we're having a situation on the southern border and possibly other locations in the world, the only thing the president's required when he actually sends troops to war or a war scenario is to notify Congress.
Yeah, and it says here, President Donald Trump has issued an official notification to Congress in conformity with the War Powers Act that he has deployed U.S. armed forces to Gabon on the continent of Africa with more troops and equipment already on the way. He says he's taking these actions to protect American citizens and national security interests in that region because of violent demonstrations which may have taken place in reaction to the elections, which took place on December 30th. Now, that's the scenario they're giving to the general public. But if I recall, wasn't China and both China and Russia worming their way slowly into that area as well, the Congo and Africa, if I recall right?
Well, you got to remember, Stuart, this is all involving these rare metals and the types of minerals and metals that we use in our weapons and surveillance and all of our electronic equipment.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Again, we get back to kind of energy wars or mineral wars, one could say. Fascinating. Okay, I want to scroll down here. Now, this is probably the most important, and I think we need to discuss this one really heavy. Marine Expeditionary Unit transiting to Dardanelles to the Black Sea, Crimea, or Crimea. How do you pronounce that? Is that Crimea or Crimea?
Yeah, Crimea.
Crimea, okay. Anyway, it says, right now, this story is published, USS Fort McHenry embarked elements of the 22nd, there's that number again, very important, Marine Expeditionary Unit have begun northbound transit of the Dardanelles Strait en route to the Black Sea. Folks, this is deadly stuff. That's 2,200 U.S. Marines, interesting number again, and an incredible variety of warfighting invasion equipment. This is precisely the type of military unit, no, this is from Al Turner, would send if they intended a lightning military strike to take Crimea back from Russia and give it back to the Ukraine. What do you think?
Well, I find it rather telling, Stuart, with the knowledge we already have that we have verified of thousands of Ukrainian troops on the border of Donetsk, you know, that pro-Russian region, and tanks and heavy equipment, missiles, etc. Ukraine has never backed up from being poised for an invasion of that pro-Russian region, which links up really with Crimea. So isn't it odd the timing that this is coming in and really following right behind some rumors we heard about NATO being involved in a Ukrainian push to take Crimea back and possibly the pro-Russian regions of Ukraine.
Yeah, weren't they going to, we never heard any more about those ships that were going to kind of crash the party, so to speak, and get into the Sea of Azov and the Black Sea. And if I recall right, Putin said, I don't think you better try that. And I can't imagine he's going to settle, even if there was a lightning strike to get back Crimea. He's not going to put up with that. That would mean full-scale war. We would be at full-scale war with Russia at that point, if this is where they're going to actually start this thing. This is obviously then a major provocation of the deep state. How does this align itself with Trump slowing down his removal from Syria and Afghanistan? I've heard that he's really not removing them so much as he is restationing them out of harm's way, perhaps. So would this have something to do with they know this is coming?
Well, it's very possible, because what it appears, he's not removing the troops from the region. It appears that he's bringing them into Iraq to remain in Iraq, out of the way of or harm's way, if you will, of what may be happening. We got John Bolton at the present time during while all this is cycling. We have John Bolton in Israel working with Netanyahu in Israel on possible anti-Iranian data. So, you know, it's very telling, all this timing of all of this. And then if true now, there are reports from Hal Turner. I can't verify it particularly at this time, but he seems to have sources a lot of times we don't have that prove out. They're reporting that there is a report that President Trump will address the nation Wednesday night.
Okay, Wednesday night would be the 9th, 19.
Huh.
Well,
1-1.
What would he be saying?
1-9, you're right.
What would he be saying? I wonder, is this about martial law? Is this about national security issue? Would this be about we're going to war? Or would this be about I'm sending troops to Congo, or maybe all of them? This is interesting.
Well, it could be all the above. We really don't know. We do know that Trump has really held some very publicly addressed and media addressed meetings between Pence and his teams on the border wall with the Democrats, and it's really come to nothing gained at all. And he was talking about going into the week with these special meetings, and he has hinted, Stuart, and I'd like your opinion on this. He's hinted two or three times martial law or an order of emergency on the southern border, so I guess we've got to wait and see.
Well, you know, he's always said I'm not going to tell you what I'm going to do or how I'm going to do it or when I'm going to do it. But you're right. He has more than hinted, I think, in this last press conference, whatever you want to call it, that he held. And he said that, I might declare martial law. He didn't word it that way. What he said was, I might well declare a national emergency, and I can do it anytime I want. I would rather not do it. But then I read a headline on Drudge where an insider said that Trump is inclined, much more inclined, to declare a national emergency so that he can use the military to build the wall. Well, as I've notified people before, wall keeps people in as well as keeping people out. And if he declares a national emergency and then declares martial law, the two don't necessarily have to go hand in hand. But if he declares a de facto martial law, then look out, because we'll probably never get our freedoms back. Even if he's well-intentioned, all they got to do is get rid of him. Now that Pelosi is in office, if Trump goes, it would be Pence, and Pelosi, I think, becomes vice president. If they were to eliminate Trump and Pence, we get Pelosi as president of the United States. I don't think that would be such a hot idea. But who knows what they've got planned? The deep state wants their war.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, you know, my poor imagination just wilts right there if I think about a woman riding the beast, you know.
Yes.
Hillary is enough. But if, my God, Pelosi?
Yeah, Pelosi is a deep state communist. I don't know why people aren't calling these people what they are. We're looking at a communist coup. It's so obvious. It's in your face. And now look at what they're doing. We had this lady that was elected in Michigan. I have no idea why the Michigan people would be that stupid, but I guess they were. And what does she do as soon as she's in office? Shows a map without Israel even being on it. You know, and all this kind of stuff. I mean, we have elected, basically, we're headed towards Sharia law, a Muslim takeover of the United States, which is their stated goal. And we're electing these people into office and these deep state communists. And who's that lady that wanted that 72% tax on the rich? Well, if you're going to be taxed, and they added it up, it's over 80%, why would you want to do anything? You might as well fold up your companies and go home. Is that what the communists want? I guess that's exactly what they want. And we got all these snowflakes out there in la-la land who are actually, you know, yay, this is wonderful. Let's tax them 100%. I mean, what we have is a bunch of idiots out there that don't understand finances, don't understand economics at all. And where did this money come from? You know, makes you wonder. What is going on when we swear people in with the Quran? I don't quite understand any of this. In prophetic sense, I understand it perfectly well, but what I'm getting at is, why would the American people put up with this? What do you think?
Oh, my God, it just brings back the memories of Barry Rothman's insanity virus.
Yeah. I don't know, Larry. I think we're headed for trouble, and I think the timing is about perfect. And was this battalion landing team over there going in to possibly take out Crimea? And they think Putin's going to sit there and twiddle his thumbs? Are we nuts? Do you think?
Well, it sounds like to me, Stuart, that a lot of this has been choreographed and prepared, and it sounds like to me we're going into a war that they have planned for some time.
Mm-hmm. This is all scripted, every bit of it. Folks, the Bible is your playbook. We're probably on scene 3. final curtain opening soon, and when you see Damascus in smoke, if the church is still around, we're not going to be around much longer. We will be hidden away or taken out of here. I know a lot of people don't believe the church is going to leave, but when you really cross apples with apples, you find out that it's more than likely, it's more than an 80% chance that the church is either hidden away somehow under the Lord's wings or removed totally. I remember on the last program I read you Ken Peters' vision that he had, and he said, I don't know anything about the Bible. But he saw the resurrection of the dead take place, and then they vanished. They all just simply vanished, which is something that we're hearing in the New Age terminology now quite, or the mystics terminology quite often, that some sort of a cosmic wave comes through and people just vanish. And their excuse is that they were evil, basically, and they were holding mankind back from ascending to its rightful status as gods. If you go into the book of Enoch, it talks about that very thing, that the people thought they were gods, and evil was multiplied among them, is the way Ezekiel, the book of Enoch, words it. And it's kind of interesting that the book of Enoch would talk about that. So this is what the New Age calls the ascension. And the vanishing is the taking away of the evil people, which are the Christians and those kind of people. You know, they're evil. And they're impeding mankind's ascension up the evolutionary ladder. So God removed them. And Ken Peters said in that vision that that's what the world leader said on TV, that the people that were taken away were bad, evil people, and they had to be removed. And I find that extremely fascinating. In all this war rhetoric, if this is true, and I don't know how you vet it, we'll probably hear about it. This Marine Expeditionary Unit that is already on its way to evidently get Crimea back and put it back to Ukraine. It says it includes escort ships, submarines, surface and submarine threats. In other words, they're fully armed to protect themselves against any and all so-called threats. However, Putin has already tested his hyper missiles that go thousands of miles an hour. And our U.S. military, although some of them publicly said poo, 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 the ones that are knowledgeable have said, oh boy, we're in trouble, because we have no defense against that. So I think this is trouble. What do you think, Larry? I think we're heading into trouble. This is probably deep state trying to force Putin's hand to get their war that they want.
Yeah, some of the intelligence that was coming out of why the Ukraine fielded that army suddenly and brought in all those tanks and the armor and the missiles, et cetera, there were reports that they got the information from the embassy there in Kyiv, and it came from CIA. So who's running this show? You know, we know that Trump spent 2 years almost solid trying to repair the breach with Russia that the everybody else created and continually pushed for, and he wasn't able to do that. He's never been able to repair that breach. It just gets wider and wider. So we don't know who's pushing a lot of these buttons, but you got a Jerry Golden over in Jerusalem had a very heavy experience that he had to pray over before he released it. Do you have that where you could read it, Andy?
I think I do, yeah. See if I can find it. I got so much stuff here. There's so much news going on. Let me see if I can scroll down and find that.
Yeah, I think it was titled Jerusalem, Golden Report.
Yes, I got it right here. Have mercy, Father, have mercy. It was a terrible dream. For 2 days, I prayed about sharing it or not, and I have finally decided to share it, keeping in mind there are dreams and then there are dreams. They aren't the same, and you know it when they occur, and I can concur with that, and so can't Larry. There's a difference between a dream and a dream vision. Huge difference. One is so much sharper, and you remember every detail. The other, you don't, generally. Anyway, in fact, they were walking with the Lord for just over 50 years. One should know the difference. I guess that's probably true. I have dreams. Seldom have I shared them. First, I feel it necessary to try the Spirit, be sure it is actually the Spirit of Yahweh speaking and showing us things. During the process of proving the Spirit, trying to relay the information to believers, one finds him or herself questioning their motives for sharing. There is a reason I am saying this at this time, and the reason is the way this dream came about. In fact, I am not 100% sure it actually was a dream, and this is the way I got it. Not being certain about it being a dream is simply because I really don't believe I was sleeping. I was just laying there praying about how desperately the ministry needed finances. Boy, isn't that true for all of us now? How we have come so far to now find ourselves faced with the possibility of failing altogether because of falling off of support. Support is everywhere. No support is everywhere. We have thousands of people that listen. We know what the numbers are. I can count on two hands people who contribute, and I can count on one hand those that have actually supported, and I'm not asking people for money. I'm just telling people how it is. And I think one of the reasons this is a fulfillment of biblical prophecy that there is no support. The Lord said that the word would become, it would basically vanish because people wouldn't support it. They want to know the truth. They want la-la land stuff, lollipop, good stuff. You know, a little bit of sugar makes the medicine go down. Well, in this case, they don't want any medicine. They just want the sugar. And this is where we are. We are in the height of apostasy. And very, very soon, according to this vision, that apostasy is going to lead to persecution within the church, going after members of the church. And this is where we are, folks. We're in the middle of apostasy and no support almost whatever. We got a lot of freeloaders out there. They want to listen. They want the news. They want to know what the truth is, or basically, but they don't want to fund it. And this has been going on now for, I'd say, about 4 or 5 years. It's been a steep drop-off of support, which is a fulfillment of biblical prophecy, I believe, because it's connected directly to the apostasy of the Christian people. They don't want to hear anything. They'll support the big ministries that are lying to them. They don't have any trouble giving millions of dollars to the soothsayers and the liars out there, of which are 99% of them, according to the Bible itself, not me saying that. They support those. Millions and millions of dollars pours into their coffers every day. These guys, these fakes, these absolute treasonous fakes who call themselves Christian prophetic scholars and leaders of the evangelicals and whatnot, you know what they fly in? Their own private jets. They have their own private airports. They live in mansions. Did Jesus Christ have his own private jet? Did he live in a mansion? Seems to me, I remember he was sleeping out in the desert under the stars, eating locusts and stuff to survive. I mean, this thing is turned upside down, folks, and you're participating in it, which makes you part of it. You got to make up your mind. Where are you sitting on this thing? Are you going to support people who are telling you the truth? Or are you going to support those who are lying through their teeth at you, not only stealing your homes, not only stealing your bank accounts, they're stealing your souls. Read what Peter has. I did a whole series on this called The Redaction of Christ. It's on the blog, lightgateblogger.com. Go read it. prove it's wrong. They have destroyed Jesus Christ, destroyed him, killed him in his name. I can't believe it. I can't believe the people out there that are that stupid. I just can't believe what's going on, and it's going to get a lot worse. We're looking at a Christian domestic. Right now we're looking at a national domestic, and Larry, as a police officer, will tell you what a domestic is like, and you can't reason with them. There is no reason. It's all emotion, and that's what we're dealing with. This is going to become then a Christian domestic, people against Christians against Christians. And the reason this happens is because of apostasy. Having itching ears, they turned their ears away from the truth, and they embraced fables. We're at the apex of the embracement of fables. The Bible teaches a strong delusion. The strong delusion in the church is I'm saved and I'm going to heaven, and Jesus Christ says, no, you're not. You're not ever going to see heaven at all. Go in and read it. It's right there in Matthew chapter 7. Well, they say, well, Matthew chapter 7 is for the Jews. It doesn't apply to us. Well, you show me where Jesus said it didn't apply to us. I don't think anybody out there can find it. I've searched for it. I can't find it. It all applies to us, every bit of it. Go read the Light Gate blogger. It's free. You don't have to pay for it. Go read it and prove that it is wrong. I don't think you can. Jesus said it. And he said, if you hear my words and you do them not, then you're a foolish person. And when your judgment, when your personal judgment comes, your house is going to fall, and great is going to be that fall. However, he said, if you hear my words and you do them, you are likened unto a wise man who built his house on the bedrock. And when the storm came, the winds blew, but the house stood because it's based upon Jesus Christ himself. I remember when I was on Randy Yarbrough, and Larry's been on there many, many times as well. He used to end every show with this. It doesn't matter if you think, or it does, how did he word that, Larry? I just lost how he worded that. It's based upon the fact that does Jesus know you? That was the end question.
Yeah.
Does Jesus know you? He's basing it on Matthew chapter 7, and it's in verses 20 through probably 25, where Jesus says, I never knew you, to the Christians. People need to look up those words. I never knew you. Get away from me, you who work iniquity. By and large, that's the Christians of today. And there's a reason why he said, I never knew who you were. I never knew you. And there's another verse where he says, you honor me with your lips. In other words, you go in and you pay your tithes and you say, oh, Jesus is wonderful and he's marvelous and he's the Savior, he's the Redeemer, and we put our money in the plates and we sing our hymns and we do all this stuff. But he says, your heart is far from me. Terrible stuff, folks. Bad, bad stuff. People ought to start reading their Bible if they want to see heaven. But they don't want the truth anymore. Having itching ears, they've turned themselves away from it. Enough of that lecture. I didn't mean to do that. Headline, wall word puzzle. Trump digs out old Obama and Hillary quotes on illegal crossings to boost his bid for border barrier. Are they ever going to solve this, Larry? Are we going into martial law to get it done?
I don't know, but you forgot to read Jerry Golden's prophecy.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Got going on a rant there. Okay, anyway, he says, dream vision. The smell was so bad, I covered my nose and mouth. It smelt like death everywhere. I could hear people crying and others fighting with each other, and gunshots were coming in from the distance. There was a very distant look in the eyes. I wondered how long they had been like this. Their faces were dirty for the most part, and they were very hungry. There were gangs of men and women walking down the street, all carrying guns and knives, shouting threats with wild, insane looks in their eyes. Looking around, there was no real damage to the buildings or infrastructure, so I thought it must have been an EMP or perhaps a neutron bomb. Wondering if it was like this everywhere, then suddenly I found myself looking at a different part of the country. There was smoke and fire everywhere I looked. Buildings were destroyed, and the smell was even worse than the first place. And there was strong smell of death mixed with chemicals. It was almost impossible to keep my eyes open, and breathing was difficult. It was winter, or possibly the beginning of winter. People were cold and hungry and found their greatest threat, other than hunger, was being killed by others. Only because of hunger were they brave enough to even come out from hiding. I noticed some acting strangely, as they were acting more like animals than people. They would run and stop and look up and around as if they were looking for some kind of an attack from above. They were totally terrified. I saw some women picking leaves off the trees, and they were afraid someone would take them. I remembered asking when this will happen, but there was no answer. Instead, I found myself sitting up in bed, wide awake and sleepy. It was when I heard, "Tell them." Assuming this was in the United States, but not sure of that. I could tell it was not in Israel, and it left me wondering about Israel, but left me with a sense of responsibility to share this in hopes it will motivate you to prepare your families and your loved ones. Tell you what, folks, this is just in addition to how many, Larry, have we been reading over this last year, virtually all saying the same thing.
Yeah, and not only this last year, just the last few weeks and the last few days, even more so, they're just exploding out of the woodwork.
Yeah, I think, well, when you look at the timetables and the end of the 70th year and what's going on in Israel right now, it's beginning to all come together. The numbers are there. The events, more than the numbers, probably mean a whole lot more. That's why Jesus said to watch. And watch what? Well, they're the events. You got signs in the heavens. You got signs on earth. And one of the big signs is the Jerusalem becoming the capital of Israel, and the Sanhedrin dedicating that altar and that rock that fell out of the wall on 9 B'Av. That was a hideous warning for Israel. Your walls are about to come down, folks. And that's what that warning was about. And you know how much that stone weighed? 222 pounds.
Wow.
I don't know. I don't know how much more the Lord can put it in our faces, but who knows? What's this deal with Scalise and this Cortez lady?
I was just going to mention that the post on that indicated that, you know, this, I guess you could say, Ocasio-Cortez, she wants to raise the tax rate in America to 70%. And, Steve Scalise, who everybody knows, GOP, the one that got shot in the ball field,
yes,
was actually debating with her, trying to debate with her, when he began to receive, shooting threats. And so there we are. The debate's over. It's done. From what I can tell, you mentioned an American domestic. That's exactly what's going on. There's no reasoning, and it appears there will be no reasoning.
Yeah, I don't see how this can ever be resolved. Not really. I mean, they may come to some sort of a deal, or maybe they won't. If Trump declares martial law, it's not going to make any difference anyway. People have no clue what martial law actually means. Now, he may do this very, very slowly and implement it extremely slowly. And that remark that he made in that press conference is a direct warning. And maybe that's one of the things that's got the deep state kind of concerned. Because if he does declare a national emergency, they could be in a lot of trouble. And the other thing that could happen if he declares that is that the left goes totally ballistic, gets violent, and then he has to declare martial law. What do you think? I think we're right on the edge.
Either way you go, it's a bad deal. I mean, it's just there appears to be no good outs coming up for this nation.
Yeah, it's absolutely incredible. Gaza terror leader, this is from your update, explodes in Gaza, kills 15, injures 40. Is that a Israeli deal, or what happened there, do you think?
Well, we don't really know. You know, the Israelis can do that. However, the story seems to indicate that this was a Gaza terrorist leader's house, and supposedly he had a vast armament of munitions and missiles under it, and something happened and it exploded. And who has a house with like a big enough 15 to be killed and 40 to be injured? I mean, this is phenomenal, but this is the way, you know, we're probably going to begin to see the same thing in America.
Oh, I don't doubt it. I think we're headed into some very big, we've been very fortunate so far. Weather-wise, we've had some cold weather, but usually up here at this time of year, you can have 40 below zero weather. And so far, it's barely been below maybe zero. Most of the time, it's in the 20s. We've just been extremely fortunate that way this year. But I don't know. We're just headed for trouble, folks. And there's trouble everywhere you go look. And this war powers notification to Congress, coupled with the threats of martial law, coupled with this movement of the 22nd Battalion going into Crimea, probably, most likely, we don't know. How do you vet something like that? That's top secret, I'm sure. But when you couple all of this kind of stuff together, it looks ominous, don't you think, Larry? I mean, I just think it looks a little strange.
Well, I think that it's really what gets me more than anything, Stuart, is the timing of this. It is so timed in with the possible announcement to the nation of what we don't know is going to be said by Trump Wednesday night, if that's true. And we do know that he's going into negotiations that are going to end at one point, and he will declare a national emergency, especially on the southern border. And the odds are he will definitely deploy military in that direction.
I just can't imagine the left sitting still for that. There will be calls for getting rid of him instantly. Anyway, here's another little article before we close. Winter is coming. Warning issued as U.S. naval forces cringe in horror at stalking Chinese monster ready to devour them. A very troubling report out of the Kremlin. This is sort of false, so you got to take it with a tablespoon of salt. Anyway, between Chief of General Staff and the American counterpart, Joseph Dunford reveals that the warning just issued by one of China's top CEOs, winter is coming, has indeed sparked alarm in the United States, most particularly the U.S. Navy, who for the first time in modern history refuses to allow any of their 11 aircraft carrier battle groups to leave port. A shocking thing they claim is because of Chinese Rear Admiral Liu Wan, deputy head of the Chinese Academy of Military Sciences, declared his intention to sink two U.S. aircraft carriers and kill 11,000 sailors with his stating, then we'll see how frightened America is. What do you make of that?
Well, it concerns me from two angles, really. Number one angle, I don't like to see all of our carrier groups in port because they're a great target for an enemy that wants to preempt.
Yep.
Then on the other hand, we are aware that China and Russia both have, and possibly, other countries have the hyperlink missiles. And,
yes.
If you will, they call them carrier killers. And they can actually hit your ship before you can arm yourself to fight back. I mean, you can't even stop them hardly. And so that could be part of it. This whole thing is bizarre. Now, what's interesting to me, Stuart, is the terms that were being heard over and over and over. And I know most everybody probably doesn't watch or have never watched Game of Thrones, but that is a term coined in Game of Thrones, winter is coming. And what that really means now, Stuart, in the movie Game of Thrones, winter is coming is a warning that great darkness and demons are headed your way over the wall of protection, and they can't be stopped. And so is that a ulterior motive? If you'll remember, Stuart, in the last the meeting with his new cabinet in the White House, remember Trump had a picture on his that, you know, all the media picked up, said winter is coming with his face on it?
Yes. Well,
is that a
Trump
clue?
Trump is a Mason. These people know these little cryptic terminologies. And Game of Thrones, he's even referred to it, hasn't he? Trump himself.
Yeah.
He knows what's going on. And I think we're about to find out. It'll be extremely interesting, folks. Tune in to this thing on Wednesday night if it happens. We'll hear about it, I'm sure, either tomorrow or Tuesday, that he is, in fact, going to address the nation. Things are happening behind the scenes. We have no idea what they are or how bad they are. And I think the American people have been lied to so much now that they don't have a clue as to what the real truth is, and they won't support alternative media either. All alternative media appears to be begging for money. I noticed on Tom Horn's website, and they're giving away the whole store just to get a sale. And it's indicative of what's going on in the apostasy within the church. Any last word, dear Larry?
Oh, I was just going to tell people to, you and I and others are battling censorship daily, and it's a struggle. And we just certainly appreciate everyone's prayers and help.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, the other day it took me over an hour just to get on so I could post the show. Sometimes it goes fine. I think a lot of it depends on how you word things, and they are using logarithms. And if they don't like the word you're using, you can't post it. You can't get on. And this is getting worse and worse. I noticed, Steve? Didn't he have trouble getting on? Quail?
Yeah, almost everybody is now having problems.
Yeah, they're one by one gunning them off, folks. And if you can't support them, then very soon truth won't be your own. There won't be any, and that's going to be at a time when people need it the most. They need to be able to hear what's going on, and if we hear any more bad stuff, sorry, we don't have more good news. Well, the good news is all negatives lead to a very, very big positive, and his name is the Lord Jesus Christ.
That's one thing.
Anything
I just
want
to mention, there's still some background chatter that communications may go down in the future, and people just need to be aware of that.
Yeah, there are several prophecies out there, too, about going down and inside information, about going down for possibly as much as 2 weeks, either a phony EMP or maybe even the rapture of the church would cause an EMP. I know a lot of people don't believe in that sort of thing, but we're going to see things you would never believe in, I think, in the very near future. Anyway, thanks a lot, Larry, for coming on. Appreciate all the help, folks. And we need help. And there's no other way to word it. It takes a lot of time to put this stuff together. Anyway, thanks a lot for listening. Take care of yourselves. Heads up. If you haven't prepared, you better go do it. Make sure you got food and water. And protect your families. Anyway, good night, folks. Take care.